All right, wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we just ask you to help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Lord, we just ask you to fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, that you'd help us be faithful to you. Lord, we just ask that your will be done, Lord, and thy kingdom come on earth, Father, as it is in heaven. Again, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to turn to Galatians. Again in verse 13, that's where we'll, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. We'll start reading there. Thought about this morning. I wanted to talk about the kingdom of God. And this kind of may seem like a strange place to talk about this, but whenever John the Baptist came in the scene, he said, told the people to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And if we think about the word at hand, it's the kingdom of God is right here. And when Jesus came into the world, and he is the kingdom of God. And we'll talk a little more about that later, but that's what the church is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God, the age of the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of times we think that the kingdom of God is going to be somewhere out there, but that's one of the fallacies of the church, is that the kingdom of God is in the future, but in reality, the kingdom of God is right now. And we're either in it or we are not. And I want to read this a few verses here to get down to where I want to. But it says in verse 13, it says, "For you are called to be to freedom, brethren, not only to turn your freedom into an opportunity, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This last week we talked about fake or being not genuine. You know, we talked about one side of that coin of being fake, you know, of someone that has the real appearance of being part of the kingdom, but in reality there's a lack of genuine love in their heart, and it's not real. And you know, just like everything else, there's more than one side to a coin. You know, there's another side that we're living in today that is probably more dominant as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, or being fake is concerned, is there's people that are professing to love God, professing to know Jesus, professing to be a part of the kingdom, but in reality they're not. It's all in their words. You know, one of the things that I learned is that it is so easy for our theology to race way ahead of our walk. And you know, it's easy for people to understand all about God and have God figured out in their theology, but their walk is a long, long way behind. And I just thought of Jesus's life. You know, one thing about the life of Jesus, he never ran anywhere. I'm not against running, or not against even being in a hurry sometimes, but just the picture that the Bible gives us of Jesus as he walked everywhere he went. And that just shows me something, that he was right where he was supposed to be all the time. And a lot of times it's so easy for us to, especially with our theology, that everything at our fingertips today, all this knowledge and stuff, is to be way ahead, running fast with what we know and understand. And the reality is we're only as close to God as our walk is. We're only as close to God. We're only real where our walk is. And our theology can far outpace it. Our understanding, our knowing of what we're supposed to be doing, sometimes is way above what we're actually doing and the way we're actually living. The same way with, you know, we talk about the freedom here. You know, there's two sides of freedom. Some people think they're free to do whatever they want. But the Bible tells us here that we were called freedom, not to be brought into bondage to anything. But don't use that freedom for an opportunity to live however you want, is what he's saying. And then he said, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that is so profound. That's so deep. So easy to say. So easy to say. So easy to let our theology run way out there about loving our neighbor. But where is our walk with that? But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. You know, here we love our neighbor as ourselves, and then it's just biting and devouring, picking, you know, churches. Even plain churches, mostly plain churches a lot. You know, we see it in it anyway, that the church, they're just looking out at everybody, just looking for a fault to pick out, and just saying, oh, and then go run to them, point out their flaws, point out their weaknesses, point out their failures. Most of the time it's just what I think they ought to be doing. Nothing to do with reality. And we pick each other apart, and we're always scared to death of each other because we're afraid they're just looking for something to chew us up with. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor is being able to put up with them flaws and be an example to them, not so we can poke at them, but so we can learn to love them. You know, I think I've said it before, God leaves problems right in the church. A perfect church has people with problems in it, so that the higher-ups or the people who really think they got it going can learn how to love, which oftentimes is the biggest problem in the first place, to love our neighbor as ourselves, so it appears like we got everything going. But I say, walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We talk about the kingdom of God. We'll get to that a little later, but when we talk about the kingdom of God, the church is the kingdom of God. You know, that's a statement we can all understand. Books are written about it. You know, we all understand what it is, but what is a kingdom? The kingdom has a king, and he's the king. I mean, we don't really know that. We've never really understood what it means as a people and a nation to have a king. We've got a president you get rid of every few years. And so, you know, we don't really know what a king is. We look in the Bible and we see the time of kings, and we see men in that kingdom and in those time of kings, and we see people that were under those kings that were so dedicated and so loyal to their king that they would do anything for their king. I mean, when you have a king, not just with your mouth, but when you have a king, you want to do anything you can to please your king. You love him. You're loyal to him. You honor him. You respect him. You just, whatever, it just hurts you when someone badmouths your king. You know, and we see that and we can relate to that in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, when someone whipped a sword out and cut their head off whenever they dishonored their king. That's the loyalty. We're called to something different, to having our king, because our king requires that we don't whip the sword out. You know, that would, you know, we see that loyalty and we could relate to that, how it would be so easy for us to do that if that's what God wanted us to be. We could see that we'd be so loyalty that we would just be ready to fight in a moment. You know, people talk about non-resistance. Well, they just won't fight. No, it's not that we won't. It's what our king says, don't. That's why we don't fight. It's not that we can't. We've got as much fight in us, or we can have, as those loyal to the king in the Old Testament, that we're willing to just, you know, I think of Phineas. You know, the man was mocking and he went into the tent and he just ran a bow through, and God commended him because of his zealousness. You know, and we can relate to those things. But yet our king says, don't do that. You love your enemies and you do good to them that hate you, because our king says that's the way he wants it done now. That's what a kingdom is. Having a king. And I think that's one of the things that the other side of the coin of, you know, there's people that will do all of that without the right heart, but there's also people that just profess to know him. Or they want to know him to save their own hides, but yet they talk about it, but they, in reality, they don't live that way. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are these: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions and fractions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's a lot of people that it's easy for us to say that we're part of the kingdom of God. But you know, there are things that the law is for the lawless. Those that are free and living with a king, there's not a bunch of rules that we have to live by. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's what it says to do. That's a tall order. And walking in the Spirit. You know, forget about keeping all of the rules or these laws or this, that. Get this one down. And it's all taken care of, he said. Part of these laws, deeds of the flesh, immorality. You know, God made us to have a wife, a man and a woman. You know, running around. In other words, I think one of them, it says, talks about fornication and adultery. And they're pretty plain what those are. And those things can't be a part of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom said, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, taking another man's daughter and that's another man's daughter. And I just thought about, you know, if a young boy would, you know, before he goes out with a girl, if he would just think, you know, would I want someone like me going out with my daughter? Love your neighbor as yourself. See, some of these things are pretty plain and pretty simple. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are these: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. You know, some of these sound pretty ugly. Witchcraft, sorcery, enmities, anger, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, strife, always contentious, always fighting, jealousy, you know, outburst of rage, anger. I mean, just always trying to show everybody that you should be respected because you can get mad. These are just things that, you know, I'm trying to overpower somebody instead of loving my neighbor. I want to control them. Disputes, dissensions, fractions. Talked about this, dissensions, fractions, denominations. Can anybody think of those words? Divisions. I don't get my way, so I'm going to run off and start a new church somewhere. It's just part of these things that are not part of the kingdom of God. You know, whenever we think of a king, I don't know. The words to me come honor, loyalty, devotion. You know, people may do these things to us, and they will, but our responsibility is loyalty, devotion, honor, respect. You know, we say we respect God. You know, people say, well, I'll honor my, you know, I'll honor God, and then dishonor their parents, dishonor their elders, dishonor old people, dishonor people in authority. You know, how we treat everyone else is how we treat God. You know, there's several verses where it tells women to submit themselves to their husband as unto the Lord. Why is that? Because wives that dishonor their husbands are dishonoring the Lord. Wives that won't listen to their husbands won't listen to the Lord. Here's an example right in front of them. In the flesh. They may not be perfect. They may be jerks sometimes. But the responsibility doesn't change for the woman. To honor and respect. And it's the same way with loving your neighbor. This is how love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's why the emphasis is here on the neighbor. Because you wouldn't treat God any different than you would your neighbor. If you can honor and have a king that tells you to love your neighbor as yourself, and then you can actually love your neighbor you can love God. Because how can you love a God who you have not seen if you can't love a man whom you have seen? That's in James. Our theology can go through the roof with our knowledge. But if we don't have this part right, we're just another loser with a lot of knowledge that doesn't even know or have a clue who God really is. Like I said, we talked about fakes, and it's easy for us to spot some fakes, but you know, it's hard for us to see it in ourselves. Sometimes when we see it, we just get all discouraged and we just want to quit. Well, that's not the answer either. Get a king and let him be the king of your life. Let him transform your life. Love your neighbor as yourself in every aspect of that. We just begin to look at people as something to get around or to go around or somebody we have to deal with. But they're still our neighbors as far as God's concerned. And there are cranky ones. There are people that use and abuse. There's a lot that aren't, and sometimes it winds up that we're the abusers. That's kind of part of that biting and devouring one another. It's so easy for us to be the ones that's making it difficult for our neighbors. The kingdom of God is right now. And it's pretty simple, the theology to being a part of it. Either I'm the king of my life, or Satan, he just kind of lets us think we are by doing our own thing. But in reality, we're just yielding to him. Satan, the devil. We think it's me making my own decisions, but in reality, he's just letting us think that so he can keep us as a slave instead of being free, or letting Jesus be the king of our life. Because that's really the only option. There isn't three options there. Me, God, or the devil. It's those two are all in it. God and me and the devil. There's just two options. Anyway. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Having that heart, not of a fake, but having that heart that's real. That our understanding and our theology isn't way ahead, it's just what we are, genuine. We have a king, and we actually let him be king. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Sister Carol Meyer, prayers for Titus.
Okay.
Also, also like to have thought about that. I don't know how to say the word, but in order for your neighbors to love you, you must, in a way, allow them to love you and you love them in return. If you're not willing to accept love from others, then you're not really allowing yourself to love them too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Exactly. Yeah, you've got to open yourself up. And that's difficult because you're opening yourself up. That can be to hurt, pain. But that's the only way that you can actually love in return. God bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing. Depart in peace.